Welcome to the Monday Afternoon Show. We have Wayne Coe in the house and Steve Gilger in the house. We are talking about an issue that comes to a head. It comes to many heads, but comes to a head tomorrow night. There is a vote happening in Chatham, and this is an issue specifically regarding the Chatham School District, and we're going to just get right into it. Wayne, maybe you want to start. Wayne Coe, welcome to the Monday Afternoon Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Whoops, I got to turn your mic on. So also, I should say, Steve.
I still don't hear myself.
Steve, okay, welcome to the show also.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have both of you in here.
Thank you.
And you're dressed very sharply, too, I might add. I'm not, although you wouldn't know that, listeners, because it's radio. But let's just launch right into it. Wayne,
School taxes. They're way too high.
Higher taxes.
There they are. And tomorrow they're going to jack them up with a $12 million tax impact. The strategy of the school has been very clear. They had almost no public meetings. They've had almost no announcements. And when I walked car to talk with moms, because one of the issues on this ballot are military-grade facial recognition cameras, 1.213 million. And most people haven't heard about it. And that's the strategy. So I want you to come and vote. You know, if you want a tax increase, if you think this bond has merit, great. But I think that any reasonable person looking at it, how did you put it, Steve? What did you call the bond?
I don't know. Remind me.
A bad maintenance bond.
Oh, yes.
So this bond covers minor pointing, minor gutter
it's
repairs, small potholes, you know, a re-roofing of the entire roof because of a leak.
Flaking paint on doors.
Which they didn't sand and prep. Steve, how do you do that? You had a great line about that.
Well, first you have to notice that the door needs to be painted.
That it's rusting.
Yeah. Oh, look, the door's painted. That's where you start. Of course, they didn't do that. So they wait for 20 years until it rusts really badly. And then,
build a house.
Like a $20,000 new door put in. And it can be done by the Albany Contractors.
SEI Design Group.
Who charge 10 times as much as anybody.
Council of Superintendents Strategic Partner, the Premium Diamond Partner.
Premium Diamond, ladies and
gentlemen. So back up a second. Who is the Council of Superintendents?
Well,
it's a website, first of all.
Are you sure it's not the Supreme Council of Superintendents?
With the tall hats. No, it's the New York State Council of Superintendents. Like all New York State organizations, like the New York State Teachers Retirement System, it has nothing to do with the state. It is a private firm that collects lobbying dollars, approximately $500,000 a year, that are listed on their website under Strategic Partner, and probably many hundreds of thousands of more in smaller fees. And companies throughout the state, Apple, Microsoft, contractors,
Google,
they all pay to the superintendents, and the superintendents then come and represent them in school systems, lobby for them.
So they can sell stuff.
So they can sell stuff to you.
For millions.
So, you know, Chatham, you know, and you vote at the Mary E. Dardis Elementary. So I'm going to go tomorrow. That's Tuesday, May 15th, to vote at the Mary E. Dardis Elementary, and I'm going to vote no.
I'm going to vote no on the whole darn thing to send them a message that we can't afford this stuff, and it's ridiculous spend. It's a boondoggle.
$12 million for bad maintenance, $1.213 million for basically military hardware that's going to be out of date in 5 years. And as another taxpayer pointed out, why would you take out a 15-year loan on tech equipment which will be out of date in 5 years?
The debt, how much is good? $5 million and more debt on the backs of the taxpayers in Chatham area?
It's very complex. The pitch is simple. You get all this stuff, and it costs you nothing. There's no tax impact. That's the game. And we hear it every single bond. You know, my feeling is that, now I'm not suggesting that governments lie, but I'm going to confirm that if you invert no tax impact and you go impact tax no, you'll know how to vote tomorrow.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So this is pretty fascinating to me. This is a lot of money. We're talking about a lot of money. And you're saying there's no tax increases, their claim, but so how do they claim that if there's a tax increase?
Well, part of it is New York State is going to give some of the money to the school district. But where does New York State get its money from?
Mm.
Oh, they're from the taxes.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Not from this pocket, from the other pocket.
Other pocket.
So One of the games that they play to hike up taxes is to displace the taxation in name to another municipality. So they stuck in armed guards over the appalled cries of mothers. I posted this to YouTube.
SROs, is that what you mean?
Armed police officers, yes. Yeah, yeah. And
school resource officers, so SRO.
That's
gotcha.
The euphemism. I like to call them fluffy bunnies with pistols. And so they have these, they have these lovely names for them. And the parents didn't want them. The moms were outraged and said, don't do it. They completely ignored them and put them in. And the one Quaker on the board absented himself because he didn't want to turn plowshares into pistols.
Right.
And so now we have a halftime SRO. The reason I bring up the armed officer is because they claim this has no tax impact because the county agreed to pay for the halftime officer. So
the
we
first
pay
year or two?
Well, unless they go full time. And so now, of course, they're talking about going full time, where it will actually be a tax increase.
This is Columbia County Sheriff's Department?
Correct.
Okay.
Chief Bartlett. And you can see Chief Bartlett in performance on video shouting down mothers on Bad Maintenance Bond, the one with me. I mean, it's really incredible. He, the superintendent, the board president, basically talking down mothers. And I show the audio strip.
They can
and you can see,
that. See
their voices go up and up. And up until the mom gives up.
You can see that on YouTube.
You can see that on YouTube.
Bad Maintenance Bond. Or you can go to Chatham-New York-Watchdogs.com where
NY.
It's also.
Chatham-NY-Watchdogs is a website that has a lot more paper information. So this is all about a bond. Tomorrow, May 15th.
Can you just explain that a little bit more? Some people listening, and including myself, are not too savvy in the world of money and bonds, and so it's easy to pull the wool over our eyes.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about this bond business, and what is that all about?
Okay. Steve and I probably have the largest repository, or I do, the largest repository of historical video and audio of a school system in New York. We have almost 3 years of solid school board meetings, as well as the very secretive facilities committee meeting.
Mm.
So you're not allowed to go.
Those are the maintenance.
Those are the bond building meetings, and the way they work is there's approximately three parts to it.
Those are closed meetings.
Yeah, well,
pretty much.
Pretty much.
Unless
if you know what they are, and if you can come at like 1:30 on a Tuesday, they may let you in. They used to evict the public entirely, but we complained.
We showed them the open meetings law,
yeah.
New York State open meetings
we
law.
We read it to them over and over, and finally they were like, well, okay, you can come. But
you can't talk.
You can't talk or they'll evict you. So we would sit in the back and just
shut up and behave.
Obey. And
so you record these things. You bring your is it audio and video or
yeah
both?
I have
both
exactly. I record audio on my voice recorder and I record video on my camera, so I have a little better audio. These meetings are interminable, but these are particularly interesting. You talked about money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to make a philosophical how to look at a school system. So when I was raised, and this is the way I'm taught all my life, and kids are still taught, that the public education is a benevolent government of the people, by the people, for the people, which responsibly and ethically agrees and feels like the public should be properly educated so that they can go out and make a rational vote and so that we can also succeed in life. And they have willingly and generously agreed to, to take from the pool of taxpayers for this purpose. Now, that's the story. A school is nothing less than a company. And if you look at it, I call this the capital model. Once you go through the paradigm shift of looking at a school as just a private company that has profiteers, they have owners of the company, the banks, insurance companies, and Wall Street represented in the, they're called benefits. Even that's distorted. It benefits the banks, insurance, and Wall Street more than it does anyone else. So it's got, everything has a distorted language. So those are the owners of the company. And then you have the employees and the management. The management is the school board, the board of education. So that, it's really only those two elements, but everyone works through surrogates, and the language is completely distorted. So as I tell people, there are two words you never hear at a school board meeting. Union, because they love themselves so much, and taxpayers, because they hate us so much. And there's a term, community, which means something to you and I, Kieran. But to them, community means the community of school tax beneficiaries.
People who get paid from the school.
People who live off the tax tit, as I call it. And so you really only have these two elements. You have the corporate state, the banks, insurance companies, Wall Street, and you have their apparatchik, the superintendent, who manages it. And she is not union. She is a private, state-installed, extremely expensive, almost $250,000 for each superintendent. Okay, and then you have the sieve, which is the school board. And it's a sieve because their job is to let the money pour through to the employees. So the employees elect every board member. But again, you'll...
What do you mean by the employees elect every board member, Wayne?
Well, this is not difficult to understand if you...
Is that a union block?
A union voting block.
A union voting block.
There is no union voting block. Perry Teasdale will deny it, the editor of the Columbia paper, till he dies, as
right.
will all of the school. But somehow in Chatham, every year about 700 and change show up to vote. And of those, 500 of them seem to vote for whatever they're told. And these people are paid voters. They vote at their place of business. They vote with complete anonymity. Because I always thought, like, there was a vote 5 years ago for another bond, $14 million to shut the Chatham Middle School, to kill the National School of Character. Still, I couldn't find a single person, an outsider, someone outside the school tax system, who thought it was a good idea. Yet 500 people showed up, 481, to do it, because they're an army.
They're instructed
in
with
class,
emails.
They're an army.
Who to vote for.
They're instructed by Facebook and by email what to vote for and who to vote for.
Who's going to benefit them the most.
Which is why I'm going to vote tomorrow, May 15th, at the Mary E. Dardis Elementary Know and write my name in for all five candidate positions. Because the four candidates that are running have never worked outside of tax, off of the taxpayer's bill in their lives.
Okay, so that's the other piece of information that I was missing. This isn't just like a ballot question. This is actual election for school board members?
Every year.
Okay.
It's wonderful you're asking these questions.
So it's a one-year term?
No, it's three.
It can be one, but
every year there's a re-election. There's
nine people, so they do approximately three a year. This year,
and this is the Chatham School District Board, and then every year there's an election.
Right.
Okay.
And the school board members,
but it makes no difference. I said it's like
there's five members running this year tomorrow, right?
Yep.
And then underneath is a question. So it's like a ballot question. And is there only one question this year?
If you want to know the questions, that's another great question.
Okay.
Okay. First, there's going to be the budget. The budget has attained the lofty sum of $32 million to educate less than 1,050 kids.
Which means $29,000 per student.
Is what we're spending to educate kids in little old Chatham, New York.
And what's the average across the state?
The national
country?
Average is 12,000,
Steve. Oh, 12,000. And Chatham's what? 29,000? That's pretty high.
You know, on paper, they only concede it being 24. So it's double the national average. You know, among the most expensive school systems in the nation.
Town is so expensive.
Because of the way the money is parceled by the company. And as I say, everything about it is private. It is a fantasy that there's this benevolent state. Beyond the state and the superintendent are the banks, insurance companies, and Wall Street that elect Republican and Democrat.
Isn't there like terms for that? Like, is it racketeering or?
I'm not the best at.
I don't know.
I'm not the best.
Aren't there legal terms to describe what you're describing?
Well, let's see. Here's a dictionary: mafia, cabal.
I try not to use those words.
Isn't that a good one? Soft despotism.
Maybe even some nepotism. I don't know. It's a small town.
Definitely
going to have some nepotism. Well, throw some of that in there.
Well, we'll take a quick profile of the four candidates that are going to be installed.
Okay.
And they have expensive signs which have been stuck up all over the district.
Paid for by who? Who paid for those signs?
Well, of course, the union, the Benevolent Sweet Teachers Union, because we love our teachers, and unions are, you know, they're for the working poor and so forth. Unfortunately, in New York, this incredible brand has achieved a kind of distortion because the average teacher's pay in New York State is $79,000. By now, it's $80,000. This was back in 2015. And they get 28% benefits, so they get about $100,000 on average, if you include the 28% benefits.
Starting to get the blood boil here, because I'm actually a teacher in a private school, and I teach farming and gardening. And
you get $100,000 a year.
Don't you get $79,000? That's the average New York State teacher.
I'm at like just the poverty levels here. I'm like, yeah, right there. It's money's an issue when you're not a public school.
Absolutely.
The key thing is that, again, you have to look at the model. And if you look at the school from a capitalist model, it makes perfect sense. The high taxes make perfect sense. I think you could perhaps justify 50% is going to basically paybacks. The teachers get paid 34% higher salaries in returning for voting through big bonds, all of the insurance tenure. They're highly paid to send this other money off to banks, insurance companies, and Wall Street. And I shouldn't call them benefits. To me, they're just the corporate state. They're the big boys. They're the oligarchs, the oligoi, the conspicuous
few. Who makes the big money?
They just run everything.
Yeah.
And
we never hear a thing about that.
I mean, I wish I could go backwards to my nubile, optimistic view of, you know, public education. You know, my kids all went.
Yeah,
all
I mean,
I was
going to say, how did you first get into this? And folks might be listening, thinking, oh, well, he probably doesn't have kids, is why he's so mad at the public
schools.
Three
high honors kids at
Chatham. Three high honors, and are they in Chatham now?
One's graduated
last year,
and the other two are in outside schools at this point.
You moved them out,
and my daughter's been accepted to Harvard.
Okay, congratulations!
No.
Is it this the
I
one that
have,
likes the
brag.
Ramones?
It is.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. They need more Ramones fans
exactly.
at Harvard.
Exactly.
Shake things up a little. Yeah. Talk about big money, boy. That's a whole thing. The endowment. Like
you remember President Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have the educational militarized tax extraction complex.
Mm. Mm.
It's public schools are, it's a capital model, and I just can't look at them as public.
Right.
All of the profits are private, and it's a completely closed system. I think the closest thing to call it would be a monopoly. So, someone said, what's the biggest danger to taxpayers? The biggest danger to the taxpayers is the union voting bloc, because they get to vote anonymously. You can't, you can't pin them down. But we're talking about the bond. I want to get back to the bond.
Well, the union voting block is pretty interesting because no one in Chatham, only 200, 250 people show up who are just
regularly.
Taxpayers and parents. That's all that show up. And the rest are all like...
We were given 9 months, the last bond, to stir up people and let them know, not even stir up people, let people know when the vote was, what was hanging on it and what to do. And this time, they didn't even vote on doing the bond till 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks
ago. They've had no genuine public meetings in the auditorium.
There's been no debate.
No, the whole thing is to suppress the vote, not let anyone else. So if you're driving along and you live in the Chatham School District, you know, please go and vote, because the union voting bloc, they're all going to be there. They're all paid to be there.
Isn't it interesting?
They vote in total anonymity. You don't, you know, you if you looked at your teacher and you find out, wait, you mean you're voting to put a 15-year mortgage on my house to do a bunch of bad maintenance and put military grade facial brick. That's why votes are anonymous, you know. And then if you look at the bond, everything about bonds are perverse. So you got 5,000 homes in the district. So when I go to get a mortgage on my house, an equity line of credit, for instance, you know, you have to sign a half-inch thick stack of documents. So this is an equity mortgage on your home for 15 years, and they've distilled it down for 5,000 taxpayers to one paragraph. And they put it on a ballot for one day every 5 years. And if you miss it, it's like, well, oh, gee, it's a completely legal vote. And, you have no recourse. The public approved it. The public union voting bloc.
Yeah, the problem is the voting's not fair. I mean, who came up with the idea of holding the vote at the location of the factory, the school system, the school,
the company
that's going to benefit the most from the winning vote of $12 million? Who came up with that? You don't do that. You put the voting over in town hall where you have to vote for president and senators and stuff like that. Not over in the school. The teachers walk from their classroom 50 feet into the gym and vote. Now, you and I and wait, we have to get into cars, rain, snow, whatever, drive 5 miles, however, get ourselves in there. No one reminds us to go vote, but everybody at the school, all the teachers who are going to vote yes, are reminded daily to get in there and vote. So there's an instant
voter block. It's unfair.
Unfair. I called up the civil service, the voting office here in Hudson.
The election.
And they said, well, we've always done it this way. That's a great, I love that answer.
That's the way it's always been done, right?
So therefore, let's continue.
It works. It works. The money goes where it's supposed to go.
It's supposed to go.
It works perfectly.
I remember in high school, when I was in high school, way, way back, I remember it was just starting. The corporations were really just beginning to get their grip, their foothold in the door.
Their fangs in our neck.
It's the textbook companies, the book companies, and also
testing companies.
There was Channel 1 TV. They had just installed TVs in all the classrooms, and they were selling commercials and propaganda for the first 10 minutes before the late bell rang.
Wow.
So from 7:30 to 7:40, you would come. It was like 1984. The kids would come, and if you were early to class, it'd just be like all this
watching
like
this
kiddie news. Like, I mean, real news, like the Iraq War and everything, but it was like the kiddie version of it. And then they'd play a Pepsi or was it Coke? It was Pepsi. And so then that's when they got the Pepsi machines in our cafeteria, the soft
that's
drinks.
That's an important part of your education.
And it was like, and we thought it was bad back then, but now it sounds like the corporations are really, they're creeping in more and more, and they're just itching and dying to get in on this profit, because the public school system is one of the single most profitable untapped markets for the outside private corporations.
Absolutely.
Right.
It sounds like you have an inside sort of private corporation within the actual government and citizenry itself.
I'm just saying, if you look at it as a company, there is no state. You know, certainly they'd say, well, these are publicly elected board members. But as I say, you look at it and it's like, no, they're privately elected, installed by the employees, their sisters, cousins, and aunts, and retirees to be a sieve, to send as much money as they can to them.
This is fascinating. So it sounds like there's a lot of corruption, a lot of big, big money going through these schools. What I'm interested in is how does it affect the education itself?
That's
and
a great
the testing
question.
Companies,
pretty weak.
Where do they come
pretty
in?
Weak
that's a
education.
Great question. If you go to chatham-ny-watchdogs.com, I have this incredible diagram. It's third grade ELA testing. From the arrival of the superintendent Nuciferro till the rescission of consolidation, till they backed off.
You mean the closing of the school?
The closing of the National School of Character. A 8% drop, 8% drop in scores over a period of 6 years, from 86% to 30%, while they were pursuing the money of shutting a school. And the one of the biggest frauds is that, you know, we have to close these buildings, it'll save money. But, you know, the answer is, if it saves money by firing, in this case, 12, you know, staff, librarians, cooks, principals,
a janitor,
if It saves money. None of that money comes to the taxpayer. It's all internalized to continue a system that's unsustainable. And so what you see is the public school system, the fiscal beneficiaries, literally the teachers, the unions, consuming the hosts. They're consuming public education and degrading public education as they pursue, you know, a constant 6% increase basically a year. And now with the tax cap, they're under, you know, pressure to close schools to, again, keep the money coming in, be able to pay out. And so that to me is this whole thing about consolidation. You said a racket. Yeah.
It's a racket.
Everything
right.
about it is false. Mm-hmm. Declining enrollment, fiscal cliff, no tax impact. It's inevitable. We've got to close the school. That we found out that almost every statement in that propaganda portfolio turned out to be completely wrong. There was an enrollment jump when the middle school was awarded the National School of Character, as you'd totally expect, a 15% enrollment jump because everyone went, well, that's the best school. That's the best school. And even instead of embracing it, instead of celebrating the 100-year anniversary of the Union School, this great institution, they did everything they could to kill it. They strangled the Middle School Parent Association, PTSA.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of the PTA. That was sweet of them, right?
Yeah, and one of the members of the PTSA was rewarded by being put on the school board for being the architect of the destruction of the PTSA.
A lot of these school board members have never, who get elected by the voting bloc, have never been to a school board meeting. Wayne has been to all of them. I've been to a lot of them. They never have been there, all of a sudden they're on the board.
You seem to me like a honest, loving parent. It seems to me like you'd be an excellent stock for a school board candidate, Steve. Have you ever thought of running?
Well, funny you said that. I actually ran three times.
What? Three times?
Didn't you run once or twice?
Oh yeah. I ran too.
Oh, and did you get elected?
Three times. I don't know. There were 500 people
that didn't get elected.
Like, show up out of the clear blue sky like bombers and just, you know, wipe us out. I didn't know who this alien force was, but now they have a name. The Union Voting Bloc.
The Union Voting Bloc.
And they're, you know, they're...
We can't beat them because the UVB.
We can't get parents and taxpayers out. We can't get them out.
Well, but it's again, Hannah Arendt, you know, the masses are not moved by facts, nor invented facts, but by the consistency of illusion.
This is written...
And certainly, I as a child going through the school systems... What is the one thing that is completely absent from all history and all knowledge that you get through public school? There is no capitalism. There's democracy. And everything's run by people. There is no one ever makes any money, you know, in the system of public school. And there's no genocide and military acquisition of assets. That doesn't, at least when I was growing up, that didn't really exist. And there is no acquisition of labor through, you know, enslavement of, you know, other nationalities. There's anything that has to do with the militarized acquisition of wealth, which is our country. All of that is just absent. And it continues this absence. You can find it, and there are great books.
You mean missing history?
If I can plug some incredible authors. Oh, S. Yeah. Brian Wilson, Blood on the Tracks.
He's a family friend of mine.
Really?
Is he? Oh, my God.
He's been on my radio show.
Oh, we got a meeting.
To me, he's like a saint. I just want to.
He is awesome. Vietnam combat veteran.
Folks out there, look that up.
I want to cut little stigmatas and walk over and touch his missing legs. I mean, he's
the AWOL. The AWOL, he calls it, American Way of Life.
Yeah.
And
yes,
that's sort of a premise of what he talks about,
folks,
the American
there,
Way of Life.
Yes. Google Brian Wilson, and you will get a lot of information.
I read Blood on the Tracks, and I was crying.
Not the Beach Boys.
Wait a minute, let's talk about John Gatto and his book.
Let's do that. Let's do that in a minute. I think I have to play some news in about 30 seconds.
Great.
It's just about 5 o'clock. My
Thanks.
Guests
Vote
here
tomorrow.
Are
That's an important bond.
Wayne Coe and Steve Gilger are talking about the vote in Chatham, about the school district budget increase, tax increase.
Bonds.
You can find them at chatham-ny-watchdogs.com and something bad maintenance.
Bad maintenance bond on YouTube. We'll give you public meeting commentary, financial information that is not available in the school video or on the school website or their direct mail.
Okay, there you have it. We're going to be right back just to finish this conversation up after the top of the hour. Welcome. Welcome back to the Monday Afternoon Show. I'm here still in the studio with Steve Gilger and Wayne Coe talking about public school education and the money trail.
School education.
Follow the
everyone
money.
Everyone loves public school.
Hey, follow the money. That reminds me. The New York State comptroller came into Chatham.
We don't want to look back, Steve. We can't look back.
The superintendent said that. We don't want to look back at that.
Yeah, we need to look forward.
So the New York State comptroller. Like,
hold on.
Office.
Back up. What is the comptroller? What is a comptroller? I actually don't even know what that guy does.
The New York State comptroller is the official state auditor of businesses
in New York State.
And it's complimentary. They're for comp. All his expenses are comped. By your taxes.
We may have assisted in getting the school audited. We may have.
Okay.
But the important thing is what they found. It was a treasure trove of things of interest, you know, excessive tax levy, excessively levied taxes.
We're not making this up.
Six different accounts to avoid fiscal transparency. I quote the New York State Comptroller
report. 69-page document.
10% of tax levy, $2.9 million, hidden from productive use to manufacture a fiscal cliff to close the Chatham Middle School.
This is in the document. This is a legal New York State document.
Literally, that is the Anyway, it was outrageous. I think they told them
to give back the money to the taxpayers. Did they? Oh, no. They didn't give it back. Of course not.
Now, if you want to, again, we're back to the capital model of public education. If you imagine that it's private education and the money is all privatized to the five unions that run the school and to the banks, insurance companies, and Wall Street that hide in the benefits portion, then they don't want to give back 10% of the budget. So they always have up at the state level the lobbyists to write a nice law to protect that overtaxation from ever being returned. So they have this marvelous device called a capital reserve fund. No one knows what it is, but it suddenly shows up on the ballot, and the union voting bloc pushes it through, and all of a sudden they can roll this illicit money out of the accounts that it's not supposed to be in, that they were caught, into a capital reserve fund because the public approved it. And so when Steve comes in, you were supposed to give that money back, and where's my money? And then they go... We legitimately were told so and so, the public approved it. It's publicly approved to roll it in the capital reserve fund, so you never see it again. It goes to our rich contractors and nobody. It's completely legal, absolutely legal. So they don't have just one capital reserve fund. They have three. They've been rolling $1 million a year. That's approximately 3% of the budget into these capital reserve funds. Where does this money come from? Does it grow on trees? No, it's excessive tax levy, quote, according to the New York State Comptroller.
Yep.
So they have $5.4 million burning a hole in the NISCUS, the Council of Superintendents, pocket. So in comes the new superintendent. You know, like a dog with bones. Like, okay, I got a new bond.
Car salesman.
For essential infrastructure. It's all really important. And I sat across from him at a table and I said, I watched them take a $25,000 gold-plated building condition survey, which is just a tour, and turn it into $32 million in contractor pork. And he goes, these are absolutely essential and important.
But yeah, the public's not allowed to go on this tour.
Oh, why?
Why would that be?
Well, we don't want there may not be rusty pipes. It might be rusty pipes from their friend's house.
I mean,
you don't even know.
At the meeting, they showed this rusty door. And I'm like, it's a rusty door. So first of all, you go, oh, look, it's a rusty door. Where's the guy that paints our doors? Scrape it down, prime it, and paint it, sand it a little bit. You're done. Cost $400.
This door had holes rusted through it.
Yeah.
You know,
and maintenance. No maintenance.
Anyway, the main thing is tomorrow, May 15th, Mary E. Dardis.
Yeah, we can tell people about this, just about the vote.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, vote there. Vote.
Yeah, you can vote.
Yes.
Yeah. I just realized we can't encourage either way. But,
right. I can tell them how I'll vote, but
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you can do that.
I'm going to dash tomorrow to my favorite school, the Mary E. Dardis Elementary, and vote no on the budget, on bond issue one, and on bond issue two. Bond issue one is $10 million on bad maintenance, which should be done for under $1 million. And the second one is military-grade facial recognition cameras to be pointed at our children.
Connected to the system, the Wi-Fi system. So your children will have, like a terrorist gets his face checked.
And it will tell their name, grade point, and so this, all this data will be taken, you know, for future use, undoubtedly for the most benign and beneficial purposes we can imagine.
Right, well, for marketing and promotion, probably.
Perhaps.
Oh, that's just part of it.
The metadata, it's like, that's why Amazon bought Whole Foods.
And then there's the school board members. And if you want a unionized school board, vote for the candidates that the union has proposed. All of them have lived their entire life off taxation. There are two, one from the DOD, one a retired...
What is a DOD?
The Department of Defense. We always need those on a school board to protect the money.
Well, and then there's a retired... military-grade equipment installed on the schools.
And armed officers.
Oh, and armed officers.
The tax extraction has to be carefully protected. It's basically a guarded, you know, guarded military complex. It's not just a prison. Yeah, but you said that children don't mind.
Well, it's not necessarily the case. I was shocked talking to some kids how natural it was for them to have an armed officer in their school with them. It's like, well, he's a really nice guy, and you know, he just greets us in the morning and says hi, and it wasn't too much of. I just know how I would have felt at 15 years old having a cop in my school, and you know, very different.
And carrying a gun in a flak jacket.
Yeah.
There is, of course, a history of accidental discharge in schools from
SROs. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of articles on that.
And, of course, there's the sad and lamentable story of the Waterville police officer who was caught on video involved with a couple kids in a graveyard and certain activities.
Whoa.
So,
you can look it up, Google it.
These are the dangers of putting military in with minors. Mm. And my, you know... It seems totally obvious. And then the other question is...
What good does it do? What about those articles?
I'll tell you what good it does. A Columbine had cameras and armed officers
in
school.
They had cameras and
that's what good
an
it does.
Armed officer. And it didn't help,
and
right?
locked doors, I think.
Virginia Tech had armed officers and cameras. Mauriceville had armed officers and cameras. Sandy Hook had cameras. And Marjorie Stoneman Douglas had those fine, highly efficient armed officers and cameras. So the question that no one asks...
The guy that didn't want to go in, who stayed outside.
But the question no one asks is, if you put provocative, violent people in and around, you know, in constant tension in school, doesn't it look like statistically that drives provocative retaliation? You know, no one's supposed to ask it, but it's like the obvious question.
What about the articles on pipeline to prison? The SROs are there, and they arrest kids for things.
Justice Policy Institute. If you look online, it's called Education Under Arrest. The Justice Policy Institute has a marvelous study they did. Up to 300% increased criminal referral, even accounting for poverty, like in Chatham's not a rich school district. So you put this person in, their primary training is law enforcement. And I won't go through it, but Steve knows that various kids have been taken out by officers
for this or that activities.
And, you know, I go in, I say, listen, you know, kids make mistakes.
They smoke weed. They might drink on the weekends.
Right. And all of a sudden
you're not going to stop it.
Yeah. If
and
you
now they're going to go to prison.
Yeah. And if you arrest them, that makes it hard for them to get housing. It makes it hard for them to get a loan. It makes it hard to get in college. So it's like, to me, no loving parent would ever even consider these actions. And yet this unionized school board does it. 9-0.
My question:
8-0 or 8-2 an abstention. It is like a machine, a cash collecting machine that must be militarized. And you know, maybe there's a, you know, it's certainly good for the parents of, I mean, for the family of the SRO.
How much do they get? Like $60,000 a year or something?
Oh, I think it's more generous than that.
Oh, I wish I made that.
Oh, this is incredible. Guys, I am blown away right now. This is fascinating, you know, the big money world and how it actually is right in the classroom with our kids, affecting them from day to day. Wayne Coe, Steve Gilger, go to Chatham-NY-Watchdogs.com. You can check out what they've been up to, but basically keeping an eye on the big money in the Chatham School District. And there's a vote coming up tomorrow in Chatham about the $12 million tax increase for the school district.
If there's any listeners out there that can help us, please contact us.
The biggest thing
us.
You can do to help is to tell your neighbor, to tell your kin. Because you can be absolutely sure the union folk are telling their kin.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm not disparaging these paid voters. You know, I understand. But as a parent, I totally disagree. Mm-hmm. I think putting in an armed officer in school is dangerous. You know, just the fact that it increases criminal referrals.
Well, it should at least
bad.
Have some healthy debate, and well, it sounds like there may not have been much debate about this one.
Never.
No debate, at all.
They had one meeting, and I'm the only one who shot video of it. No one else. There was a cameraman from a news agency, and I tried to contact them like a year and a half later, and they said, oh, well, we have a 30-second thing we put on the news, but we just purge our video rolls. I was like, oh. So I have this like really shaky, bad audio, but there's a little of it on one of the bad maintenance bonds. Bad maintenance bond number two. If you wait till the end of the video, I show this historic footage of mothers going, you know, I'm appalled that you're, coming in. What was it she said? And you know, that this is a done deal and that you're giving, you know, doing the courtesy of, like, letting us know that you're going to put this person in. And they said, you know, my child wasn't in the Chatham school system, but had I known you were going to do this, I wouldn't have put them in. And so these are the voices of the public. I call it the public narrative. And tragically, when parents or taxpayers go through the, you know, there's a lot of anxiety. You're standing in front of the board of a $30 million company, by far the largest, most powerful company anywhere in Chatham. The next closest, you know, are the municipalities at $1.5 million. And they have the power to, you know, create fear and humiliate you. And so it takes a lot of bravery just to show up. And now the system is so, you know, they cut public comment from 20 minutes to 3, you know, in evident disdain. It's like, we don't even want to listen to you. Don't you get it, Mr. Coe? And they put a thing through called a superintendent's committee that allows them to just brush away open meetings law. Hmm. So all the superintendent has to do is say, I'm the core. And all of a sudden, your elected officials don't represent you. And none of them fight it because, as I say, they are below the superintendent despite what's in writing.
Hmm. Remember when I asked that question to the superintendent, I said, who told you people to put militarized facial recognition cameras in there? Remember when I asked that? Who told you guys to do that? Who is your bigger boss?
Niskus.
You
probably.
Think you think it's Niskus?
Yeah.
The sales.
The
lobbyist.
New York State Council of Superintendents is a lobbying firm. They're
advocacy into schools.
If you click on advocacy, they'll have like a superintendent for life and some other person for life. And there's always a lobbyist there, a professional lobbyist who comes from various lobbying firms.
And you can pay $50,000 for a platinum. What's it called? A platinum?
Premium diamond.
Premium
Niskus partner.
Diamond Niskus partner. To get you advocacy and entrance into schools to sell your junk.
Yeah, I came in and I started talking about this stuff and they started tagging me, conspiracy. And the superintendent starts heckling me. And, you know, it was like a horror show.
It
and
is.
So I went and I did my research and I came and I read them this statement, which you can see on the web, about Niskus, all the dollars, how it works, where the money goes, how they plug in the contractors. Anyway, the bond. How do bonds work? Where do they come from? The state every 5 years asks that an inspection being done on the school, a tour. And so they take a tour and, you know, they point out things that they'd like to fix.
You can't go. Public not invited.
Public excluded.
Yeah. Why? Well, gee, I don't know. Why shouldn't the public know?
And for years, the facilities committee.
That's right. Could be dangerous.
Oh, that was great.
Remember that?
So they were evicting me, and this
he couldn't go because it might be dangerous.
This belligerent board member goes, Wayne, you know, can't you see you shouldn't go? It could be dangerous. Like, what if you went to Bateman's and slipped? And he's standing near this octogenarian board member.
Yeah.
You know? And I was just like, it sounded like he's wishing me ill. Like, you know, like just get out of here.
Dangerous.
Yeah, or you might be pushed down the
stairs. You could slip and fall down the stairs, Wayne.
Weird. And you have to say, there's this octogenarian standing there, you know, chewing on her, whatever she was doing, chewing on her pencil. Yeah.
Something. Wow. Well, keep up the good work. It sounds like you guys are busy keeping an eye on these shenanigans that are happening.
It's really
this
no
is a
fun.
Lot of money. This is really? A lot of money, and I'm sorry for the stress and tension you must have to go through going to these meetings. That's not fun to have to go to a public meeting and have it be so awful.
I just encourage
people don't want you there.
People to take a look for themselves.
Yeah, you need an educated citizenry. That's the whole point of
because everyone complains about school taxes, but they sit there and wait like they can't do anything.
Right.
And in some ways, there's some truth to that. They've built so many fences that, I mean, I'd call it an attack on civil liberties. They cut public comment from 20 minutes to 3. They cut access to meetings at the whim of the superintendent, and they put in a media ban, especially for me, you know, because didn't want. It literally says you may not ask questions, you may not bring in recording equipment, including board members, in anticipation of the unhappy day when Steve or I or some person who was not purchased ends up on a school board. Even the school board members are not allowed to ask questions of the staff, look around the building, or what was the other one? It was like three things.
Gather information. You're not allowed to gather data.
Isn't that what
information
journalists do?
Truth
Steve?
Finders, truth
journalists.
Unbelievable. Well, keep it up, guys. It's been really having you on the air on the show.
You.
It's the Monday afternoon show. Here is Steve Gilger, Wayne Coe. And it's been a pleasure. So thank you, guys. We're going to go out with some Bad Religion.
Cool.
Right here. American Jesus.